Welcome to Broadway Baby, the podcast taking one casual theater goer to full out fangirl. I am your host, Kimberly Schmidt, here with my husband, Jay Schmidt.
Hi, guys.
And our baby, Alex Fasella.
Podcast.
Today, we'll be talking about West Side Story. But first, how's baby met world?
Baby's met a little world. First of all, I moved into a new apartment, and when my shower heats up, it makes the Sweeney Todd train whistle noise.
No!
It's scary every time.
Yeah.
Like, is there a whistle on it somewhere?
The pipes are weird, and I'm just like, oh, a nice hot shower. Oh, I have to attend the tail now.
What a fun score to be stuck in your head while you're in a shower where everyone thinks they're about to be murdered.
Yeah. And also, you get hungry for pie. So it can be a little distracting.
It's a lot of emotions, that show. I was actually thinking about Sweeney Todd this week because I'm reading the Sondheim book and working my way through that I'll get to. But, like, is there a show or is there a tier of show that could be messed up worse if you don't do it right and look really particularly silly, not just bad, than Sweeney Todd? I feel like that's got, like, the potential for if you don't nail everything, it's instantly self-parody.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of Sondheim.
Probably, yeah, because it's such a high wire act for everybody.
Yeah, if you don't hit the tone, it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, even Woods is like, this is dumb.
No, it's not.
If you do it wrong. Hokey and silly, like, yeah.
Oh, it's a little dumb. It has the potential.
Totally. So I'm working my
Bad Wolf has a song.
Yeah. Oh. And an anatomically correct penis.
Yeah, that's never going to be reconciled in my mind. That's always going to be like, okay.
Okay, cool.
Choices.
Yeah, I watched this in seventh grade choir. Okay.
They do this at middle schools. Oh, boy. Yes, working my way through the Sondheim book. I just made it through Gypsy. I'm on to Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, I think it's called. He is very, very, the thing that comes up over and over again. And first of all, I like the fact that Sondheim is very honest about what he thinks are the flaws in his lyrics, because I'm used to idolizing artists who are just ego through the roof and hate any kind of criticism and go, I'm the greatest there ever. Whereas this guy's, I was watching the Sunday in the Park with George commentary on the movie. Mm-hmm. And he's like, everybody, look, this song ends wrong. It was the only way I could end it, but the button is weird. Like, he just can't not point it out. I think that's kind of cool.
Oh yeah, that's his entire personality.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's very big on the idea of a character shouldn't sing differently than they talk in the score, to the point where he kind of hates a lot of his own lyrics in West Side Story because he thinks it doesn't sound like they would talk. So now I'm in my head about how I've made my lyrics characters talk. Right. So that's the natural order of things. There's the opening song I had. Not the opening of the show, because there's a prologue, but the one where we meet the protagonist and his family had this kind of very busy, pretty melody. And then as we write this character, he doesn't talk a whole lot. And if he does, it's in very blunt statements. So I was like, uh-oh, I have him singing like a Decemberist there. What do I do? But what's on, I also brought up, and he seems resistant to this idea, but he admits that it's true, but kind of begrudgingly. He's like, yeah, my collaborators always tell me sometimes theatrical logic is the right call, not literal logic. So sometimes, yeah, maybe Tony wouldn't say it soft and it's almost like praying, but the musical needs him to do that. And it's not so out of character. That's not really that big a deal. But if you write it, you're going to see the flaw. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I raised the issue to Miles, but also that's so far down the line from mattering because we don't even have a finished script yet. So
yeah,
fair.
Yeah. So I'm still going to stress about it, but tuck it away as a non-time sensitive stress. And finally, I watched the Evan Hansen trailer.
As did we.
I really like it. Ben Platt's noticeably almost 30. It's not enough to make me off board, but it is very noticeable.
The internet is very mad about this, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, of course he's in the movie, Everyone who's ever been a teenager on TV has been 27.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what I saw. The way someone pointed it out is that it looks like they've tried to age him down. Like it looks like either they put makeup on him or they did something to make him look younger.
It's actually made him look older.
No, it just makes him not look real. And so that's why he's standing out in everyone's mind, because he looks like Steve Rogers before he takes the potion.
Whoa. Yeah.
Then my first thought, because I think he did lose a lot of weight for the film, like to look younger, which I feel like he should have tried to get baby fat back. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the wrong move, but literally he was on stage and I was like, oh, where's Bucky? Because there's Steve. he just
ultimately
looks, I'm not but also mad. In the way that he looks CGI'd in a weird way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Other than that, I think the movie looks great. I think
me too.
The one change you can tell from the trailer is that they say Connor's mom and stepdad are here.
Yeah, I was curious about that.
And that's an interesting shift. I'm interested to see what they do with that. There's also a article in Vanity Fair, and Ben Platt said that they've added a third act so that he gets a bit of a comeuppance and you get to watch him deal with that.
That's when he gets
and the super soldier serum. And that's my entire issue with the show, huh?
Yes, he said that's when he gets the super soldier serum.
Yeah, and then they all forgive him because he's Captain America at the end.
Yeah. Because I've certainly been noticing a lot of hate for this show that I don't think is really warranted. I'm with you guys. I would have maybe preferred like Jordan Fisher, who was in The Rent that was playing him recently. Like that guy reads younger, but ultimately I'm not that upset about Ben Platt doing it. He looks young enough that I'm not going to think about it after 2 seconds.
And I think he's like actively in a TV show where he's playing a teenager. So I really don't know why people are mad.
It doesn't get made if Ben Platt's not doing it.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
Okay, I can live with that.
Made. Everyone's like, well, yeah, maybe. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. No. It doesn't get made. Full stop.
Yeah.
I actually hate that they've added a third act. That's the first that I'm hearing of it. I think the show's perfectly fine just the way it is. I don't think they need to change it. I don't need to, like...
They've also added 2 songs.
Evan gets plenty of comeuppance. He is just as alone as he ever was at the beginning of the show after all of that, which is punishment enough, quite frankly. Sorry. Yeah.
No, I agree. I wonder if the extra act, or at least whatever plot point they add, is going to be like too much, where it's going to feel like, hey, we just needed to give him the comeuppance, but you'll maybe feel it like that. Has anyone ever read the lost chapter of A Clockwork Orange, where he just becomes nice at the end and it's really bad, and Kubrick cut it out? I wonder if it's going to be like that. Like, we got him a comeuppance, and we're like, you shouldn't have.
It's like when they added too much into Barry's story in The Prom. It was like, you guys are already kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
If you just let it be its own thing. Like, you could have had a very light hand with that and expanded it more, but...
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Is the book writer of the show the screenwriter as well? Like, has he adapted his own stuff, or...?
I have no idea.
Me neither.
Yeah, I haven't really looked it up. I was going to say that I know they wrote 2 new songs because I'm sure they'd like...
Okay. Yes.
I hope they're not ballads.
I don't know.
There's enough.
I think the show's strong enough.
Well, I hope they add back in the mom song. Have you ever heard that song, the cut song?
No.
Where it's called The Bedroom Down the Hall, I think.
Oh, Colin's mom?
Connor. I said Colin earlier. It was my fault. No, both of them talk about their kids. Or maybe it is just Connor's mom.
I'm curious what the stepdad dynamic's going to be like, because part of the appeal of
To Break in a Glove.
That song. That song is not in the show, in the movie. It's not.
Yeah, I guess they've said they've added 2 songs, but they didn't say if they've cut any. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's just like the interesting dynamic that I always felt between Connor Murphy and his dad is that his dad clearly kind of hates him, and it's his biological kid. So if it's a stepdad, that almost it's like, did they try to offset it so that's not as hard to swallow? But it's like, but that was what was interesting about it. He's like, yeah, I don't like my kid and I have guilt about it, you know, but
yeah,
it looks good enough that I have an open mind.
Or maybe actual dad comes in and sings Breaking a Glove. Who knows? We'll find out at some point. When does it even come?
I think in a month or two. It struck me much faster than I thought it was gonna.
Every time there's a movie musical, I'm just like, it'll come out at Christmas.
Yes.
I just assume they all come out at Christmas.
Yeah.
It's gonna compete with Star Wars.
True at all. There's a Star Wars coming?
No.
Is it a musical?
No, I don't want that.
Star Wars. Ooh.
Well, there is a Star Wars holiday special where Bea Arthur had a song as she was like the bartender of Mos Eisley Cantina, and it is.
It's tough.
It's tough. It's really not her fault, but it is tough.
It's no one's fault. It's no one's fault. It is a marketing team's fault.
Yeah, Star Wars. We're not mad. We're disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all the world.
Have we met world?
No. Why do you keep coming back to us like we have?
I don't know. We also
because she hopes eventually it will be true that something had happened.
We saw the Dear Evan Hansen trailer. That technically, he stole it from us. Hey, hey, we finally had a thing and you took it.
Yeah. You watched Jay's full reaction on Previewed.
Yeah, check it out.
He cries a lot.
It's just, I really like that show.
Me too.
I really like the show.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Shall we word of the week?
Word of the week.
Just talking about endings and openings of acts. Finale. Why not?
Finale ultimo sometimes.
Final ultimo.
Yeah.
I like when they're called final ultimo.
So here's my question. We all kind of hopped on board when we were talking about word of the week as onto finale. In what way is act two close? Oh, wait. We did act two opener.
Yeah.
Disregard everything I said.
We did act one closer and act two opener.
Yeah.
We've talked about overtures and opening numbers, and now we're on to the finale.
You know, I thought that thought was stupid, and I still said it.
Well.
All right.
Welcome to our home.
Finale.
Finale it is. The finale of West Side Story is just the finale of West Side Story. That's why I initially said, have we already done Curtain Call? Which, listener, please yell at us that yes, we have. But I love the ending of West Side Story because the curtain call is in silence. There's the finale and then just a sort of a somber bow because it ends very sad.
Yeah.
And a lot of musicals don't end sad.
Yeah. It's good
for them. Playbill, of course, made me a playlist. Not me specifically. They made a playlist of finales. let me see if I can pull it up again because I lost it. Here it is. Play on Spotify. And then to which Jay and I just listened to Move On from Sunday in the Park with George and cried in our living room right before we turned on the Zoom call.
Yep.
So that's how much we like finales. Apparently we like the sad ones.
I like the happy ones too.
One of my favorite finales of all time is Little Shop. I love the final ultimo of Little Shop.
Me too. Because it goes full dark. It's like everyone on the planet is dead. And it's this guy's fault.
In Peoria is my favorite.
Yeah.
Line of a musical, maybe.
Yeah. And I now that we've done this podcast for a few years, I've still yet to hear another song that uses the word subsequent. And I'm very here for it.
Oh, yeah. That'll be a fun little game to find another subsequent lyric. To talk about finales, you can talk about when they just sort of wrap up the plot. There's sometimes, you know, like a Move On, a big ballad at the end to just sort of emotionally end the show. Or you can have my secret favorite way to end a show, which is a mega mix.
Oh.
A mega mix, I feel, is usually technically just the curtain call. Like at a certain point of a mega mix, they're bowing.
Yeah.
But we've looked for the reality of the show.
With the end of the plot. And then it just morphs into the curtain call. So a finale before that.
Yeah, it's different. My favorite dynamic in a finale is when the book in little breaks in the finale song wrap up all the different storylines that they've started in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more like happy show vibes kind of thing.
Cut to this couple. They're kissing.
Yeah, it's
cut
just like, hey,
couple,
like,
they're pregnant.
Let's get it. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I just like
it's, and then the child runs on from the wings and is up on a hip.
You wouldn't think I would like that. Waitress. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I would think that you would like that.
Yeah, it's just sometimes it's nice. It's like, look, I paid a lot of money to sit here. Can you just don't leave any hanging chads, or all right? Like, wrap it all up.
Yeah.
I need to know what everyone's doing.
It's, I need, like, this to be adorable and efficient.
Yes, efficiency. Yes. Just give me enough to let my imagination carry the rest. Like how I secretly love at the end of some movies when they have like texts as to like what everyone, like whatever, what happened to everybody.
Yeah, me too.
Oh yeah, love that.
Love it. Ooh.
A freeze frame with like Emmett's proposing to Elle tonight.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, so I like when musical finales do that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alex, how do you feel about finales?
I like them quite Sunnyside sad. I can't not like them. I like musicals. They have to end. Therefore, by some kind of logical principle, I would have to like them. I like one. I obviously, my instinct is to for it to get bigger and bigger until it, you know, is finale. But I also do appreciate a show that will end on its quietest moment, and so you feel it, like Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story. Mm. Fun Home does that a little bit, but not, it's a big emotional moment, but the song is sort of, tame is the wrong word, but it's like quiet-ish kind of. That's a one I get a lot of mileage out of. I can't remember how Evan Hansen ends, but I'm sure I was happy. The Hair ending is one of my favorites. Let the Sunshine. I can't even remember what it's literally referencing, yeah, but it's such a good song.
And they invite the audience on stage and you can go up and sing with them.
Yeah.
Maybe that's after.
I wonder what the ratio.
I know.
Oh. I'm on stage. No, I didn't pay. I paid you. You do the show.
I'm not at work.
I'm not at work. You.
If someone's coming down, you come to me. My back hurts.
Yeah.
I wonder how many shows, obviously you can't officially chart this information, but like how many shows have a great closing song, but the story ends bad, where you're like, oh, this song is great, but this show is still the plot. Like you did finale wrong, even though this song is quite good. I can't think of any offhand.
That's also like a very specific.
Yeah, it's a very specific gripe.
Well, it's like when Shrek ended with when they added in I'm a Believer just because of the movie.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this was actually a really good show and you really cheapened it by doing this.
But was that also after Curtain Call?
Yeah, it was after Curtain Call. It doesn't count. Oh, I think I know the one, like the one at the opposite end of the spectrum, a really good finale for a show that actually it being the finale makes it a way worse show in my opinion. We Will Rock You.
Bohemian Rhapsody
being the last song in the show is the biggest misstep of all time. It's like,
that's way too long to be a closer.
It's not even that. It's that you need, if it's Queen, you need, that needs to be the most important dramatic moment in your show. Bohemian Rhapsody.
And they made it, it didn't really matter.
And they made it a circus trick.
Like at the end of Rock of Ages, that's Don't Stop Believin'.
That, yes, but here's the thing. Rock of Ages is like, it's silly and fun. It doesn't.
And that's kind of like the message of a finale. Like, don't stop believing. It's time to dance, yes, from the prom.
100%.
Like being alive, like a hopeful moment at the end. But yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody like should have probably been the major plot points,
yeah,
of the show.
Yeah. I didn't even know this Queen show existed.
Oh, we saw it twice.
Okay.
Because our friends were in it.
Yeah. And they were great.
And they were great.
Our friends, Jared Cirilli was really, really good.
Susanna Dupree, killed
very,
it.
Very, very good.
Emily Marshall on the keys, killed
very
it.
Very good. And we'll leave it at that.
And they did a show.
And they did it.
It happened
twice. Yeah, it exists. That's a like thing with jukebox musicals, though, is that they try and end on a high note. Although from what I've seen of some bootlegs, the Tina finale is very good because it's River Deep Mount High. Isn't that the name of the song?
Proud Mary?
Proud Mary.
They saved that for the end?
Yeah.
That's worth it. That's worth it for the ticket price alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I defy you to show, like, to have a song that will get you amped up more than that.
Oh, I'm...
when the horns come in? Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited to see that show.
Yeah, I want to see that.
But too. Also that is the last song. Like, that is what Tina, who has been singing for 2.5 hours, has to sing at the end of the show.
Honestly, it's not really about hitting the notes. She's got to make those tassels on that dress go wild. Yeah. She's got to really. Can we skip out turning? You got a lot of backup singers. You're fine. You can fake that one. It's all about the personality at that point.
Yeah. Midnight Radio from Hedwig. Excellent.
Yeah. The most interesting finale we've seen in a while is We Raise Our Cups from Hadestown.
Oh, yeah.
They just speak to the audience.
That's more of a curtain call thing, though. Because
even after curtain call, I think.
The more and more I think.
But it's technically the last song, so it's the finale. Yeah. Like, Song of Purple Summer is the finale that comes from nowhere in Spring Awakening.
For Now from Avenue Q.
That's a very special one because it, like we talked about on when we did Avenue Q, it's basically saying like, hey, stories don't end until we're all dead. Good night. Like it's thumbing its nose at the entire concept of a finale.
Yeah.
In a very funny, sweet way.
It's very timely. It's like very much like this is the kind of thing where it's like, you set up a character that needs to learn a lesson and then like in the opening number, and then you serve the lesson and like it bookends it really nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another, speaking of bookending, a closing number that is similar and almost the same as the opening number, Open It Up, is also the finale in Waitress.
Yeah. Reprises can be finales.
Yeah. And like basically freeze frames and tells you what's happening with all of them.
Yeah. I love it.
Which one's pregnant? Which one's got a baby? But who's also with who?
The it like is still.
Kid runs on hip.
The like. I appreciate like the changing of the definition, like the meaning of the song is still same, but also completely different.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I as you know, I'm that show's biggest fan. What's Inside of Love kills me every time and not in a good way, but the rest of the song is fine. But I'm just like, don't say it. Don't. It hurts every time. What else is on that playbill list?
Have Nowadays from Chicago.
Oh,
okay.
The Tina finale, the finale of In the Heights, which is spectacular.
Yes.
I think we're forgetting a very specific brand of closing numbers in that the diva leading the show just singing the absolute crap out of something. A la Rose's Turn, a la Don't Rain on My Parade.
A la Being Alive.
Yes.
A la Fable from Light in the Piazza, which is on here.
I think Don't Rain on My Parade is the best one of those versions.
You know, I don't know Funny Girl very well. I didn't know that was the last song.
That song is
That's
just...
the finale?
Oh, yeah, man.
Of course it is. It better be. What else do we have? The finale from The Cher Show, the Mega Mix from... On Your Feet, one from Chorus Line.
Yeah, that's another one that goes through, ties up everything because it's the ultimate lesson is in the finale, which is it's just another job. And now we're this weird phalanx where you forget who each of us is.
Yeah.
It's like all this for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, they worked very hard to look exactly the same.
100%.
Yep.
I love that. That's pretty much that whole list.
Yeah, a good finale. I like a good finale, but...
A good finale leads you to your feet for curtain call.
Yeah, but I also don't like them too long. And I really am of the mindset, and I wish Equity would get involved with this. Once everyone bows, can the show be done? Can the show be done? I hate the whole everyone bows, and now we're singing something else. Get out of there. You want to leave? I want to leave. You did your job. Like, we broke the fourth wall. Stop singing. Go. I don't need another number after the curtain call.
Yeah, because this will come with a phenomenon that happens during a finale of Dad's Gotta Get to the Car.
Yes.
Of like when people can tell it is the finale, there will be like three older gentlemen that just go, I gotta go. Like, let's beat the traffic out of here. They're always sitting in the front and they need to leave.
I want to trip those dudes so bad.
Every time.
So bad. Like, just wait. I was like, it's not their fault they have to sing after the curtain call. They're mad they have to do it too.
Yeah, but some people leave before they even bow.
Oh, yeah, that's rude.
That's very rude. Pay your respects to
Ushers should get tasers.
Like, equity tasers.
Strap people in like a ride.
Yeah, Simba's about to bow. You staying at Lion King, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't happen in New York as much because no one's going to their cars.
No, that happens a lot in Philadelphia because they are literally all going to their cars. Where I saw a lot of shows growing up, and my dad used to, my grandma Artie used to try and be the one that was like out the door. And I would always say, no, we stay till the last person is off stage.
Yeah.
Yes. Have LaDuca make a brand of stun guns and problem solved.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, a stun shoe. They can do it from the kick line in the finale. It'll be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else about finales?
Nope.
I think that's about it.
They vary. They're fun. They're the last song.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Finale.
Nothing you didn't already know, Alex.
I know. Now we've talked it over.
Yep.
All right, let's get right into it. West Side Story.
Yes.
We all watched the movie,
mm-hmm.
but do we have personal histories with the show itself, with the movie itself? Alex, we can start with you.
I, like I said on our last episode, when I had watched the trailer, I had pieced it together from context clues. I knew it was based on Romeo and Juliet. I knew dance fighting and ominous snapping. I knew there were sharks and jets. But if you said elaborate on what that means, I would have zero idea. So it's one of those shows that you can't not know exists. But I did manage to not know anything beyond the broadest of strokes. And like I had heard, I knew the lyric Maria. A lot of these songs I had heard before, but not all the way through. Like I knew the lyric I Feel Pretty. I had never heard the rest of the song. I knew the lyric It's Almost Like Praying, but I'd never heard the rest of the whole song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Snippets, and that's about it.
I did not like this show as a kid. My mom like got me the DVD, or maybe someone got her the DVD of West Side Story for Christmas when DVDs were first a thing.
Yeah.
And she put it on for me and my sister like right away. She's like, this is great. We love Sound of Music. We love Fiddler on the Roof. And now like, this is my favorite one. We're going to watch West Side Story. And we must've just been at the perfect age that when those guys came out singing and dancing with basketballs and fighting, we just laughed at my mom.
Oof.
We were like, what are they doing? This is dumb. Obviously egged on by my sister.
Yeah.
And my dad probably. And then my mom turned it off. She didn't make us watch the rest of the movie. And then I had never seen it again until I saw.
Your mom, man, she needs to stand up for the three of you. I tell you.
I know.
Sometimes I feel like that's why I'm in the family. To be like, hey, Gail's talking. Hey.
She's showing you something she loves.
Yes.
Watch it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm Gail's favorite.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. And then in high school, I was doing a one-act festival at Bucks County Playhouse with my high school. And then the thing is, like, we would do the festival all day, and then all of the people performing went and saw the show they were doing that night, and they were doing West Side Story.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was a very good regional production. And then like the next year, the Walnut Street Theater in Philadelphia was doing it. And then finally I was like, Mother, I will watch this movie with you. And then I love it.
Yeah.
And then I saw the 2009 revival with Karen Olivo. And I did not see the newest revival because it was only in previews.
Yeah.
But I love this movie. Jay Bird?
Oh, yo, I've loved this movie since Jump. I love this movie. Like, I've seen this movie, like, many, many, many times. It just was, like, when you get into musicals in high school, I feel like this is, like, kind of a lightning rod because everyone knows what it is. Like, even people who don't know theater. And so it got recommended. And then me and my buddies watched it and we're like, this is, like, look, this movie's awesome. It's still awesome. It's really good. In show choir, for one of our concerts, the boys in show choir, we just decided we were doing Officer Krupke. We just decided it. Because she was like, oh, okay, here's like the sheet music. And we're like, oh, where's the Officer Krupke music? And she's like, we're not doing Officer Krupke. We're like, yeah, we are. We're doing it. Get the music. And she was like, okay. Like, she was like, all right. So we did Officer Krupke and it was fun.
Who was Officer Krupke?
I don't remember.
Who were you?
I don't remember. I just remember we all had hats and things. You know, it was very stupid.
It was very show choir.
We had choir pretending to be gang members. We really had fun. You know what? We were big, we were dorks, but we had a great time. Nick was in it too. He was really good.
Oh, I bet he was.
Yeah. How we ever got Nick into show choir, I'll never know, but it was really great having him there.
I would like to see the video.
Oh, yeah, we had fun.
I was trying to say photos and videos and footage, and I just said videos.
Yeah, we had a good time.
I'd like to see the videos.
But I really have a lot of, I love every aspect of this show, and this, I think it's the perfect show.
It's so good. It is a turning point in musical theater in that it is a very serious subject matter, and no producer wanted to touch it. And then Hal Prince came around and was like, let's give it a go, but I'm slashing your budget. And then it was a wild success.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't win the Tony that year. Guess what won instead?
That's a good question. I don't know. Funny Girl? I don't know.
No.
Mame?
No. Something equally happy.
Flower Drum Song?
No.
Why is that what came to my mind?
I don't know. The Music Man.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
None of the actors won anything, but it did win, of course, Best Choreography for Jerome Robbins, who also directed.
Yeah.
I'm reading a lot about him in the Sondheim book. Seemed like a terrible man.
Yeah.
Genius, terrible man.
He danced.
Oh, oof, my God. I almost made him the word of the week, but it was like too late to change it because I was like, I should do a lot of research about Jerome Robbins before I talk about him too much.
Yeah.
I love his style of dance. You can pick it out of a lineup, but also it's very ballet. It's just beautiful.
That movie manages to make ballet threatening. Yeah. That is an impressive feat.
And cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And which I get why you're a kid and you're watching it with your mom and you're like, what is this? For after a split second, you go like, oh, that's representative of them beating the shit out of each other. And it makes.
But yes, presumably not the nicest man, because apparently by the time the show opened, none of the co-collaborators on this show were talking to him. Because he just kept changing things.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the man's got a vision.
That's pretty telling. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I'm not sure. The show initially, I don't know. I say this all the time, like everyone knows it, but not everyone does. Was initially about the Lower East Side and was going to be called East Side Story, about an Irish boy and a Jewish girl.
Oh.
And then it was shelved for like 5 years before they picked it back up again. And by that time, a lot of the news was about juvenile delinquent gangs, as they called them in the article I read.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
And so then they decided to switch it up into West Side Story.
The gangs in this are interesting because, like, when I just knew, oh, it's about gang violence, I assumed they were, like, all carrying knives and guns and stuff, and it was going to be, like, really rough. And I know that's kind of how they did it in the newest revival that didn't get off the ground. But then I watched it, and I was like, oh, no, these are children. Like, they talk about having guns and knives, but they're all clearly freaked out to do it.
And they're all clearly teenagers.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And then back then, they only had zip guns. They didn't have real guns.
Yeah.
What's a zip gun?
That's what they call it. He's got a zip gun, chains, zip guns.
It's a homemade gun.
I've seen this movie many times. I know most of the words to this movie.
And then the newest revival gave them like neck tattoos and stuff and said it now, which is all stuff I'm like, oh, I would love to see that. But then once I realized, oh, these are children, that doesn't work anymore because, and this is maybe a silly reason, you have to be 18 to get a tattoo. So I'm like, this can't. I can't, given circumstances.
Plus, they went to a reputable establishment,
yeah,
Alex.
Could, yeah. Oh, these kids are forging their parents' signatures. Oh, boy, they're rascals.
So like, I would love to see what the show looks like now, but also, and then I'm on top of that, you have the book is full of daddy-o and what all that stuff that's not going to translate to now. But if someone's holding their phone out, like it's just not going to work.
They tried apparently not to do too much slang, and then they made up some slang because they couldn't curse. On Broadway at the time, you couldn't use curse words.
Oh, okay.
Like, a lot of the, like, made-up slang words was because they couldn't say, like, hey, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool it, daddy-o.
So, like, cool it. Zip, like, zip guns. That's all I can think now. Alex, so you watched the movie, but you've never seen it on stage.
No, I listened to all the albums and I watched the movie, but that's it.
So the main difference between a stage production and the movie is the placement of Cool and Officer Krupke.
Yes, because Cool comes earlier as opposed to in the movie where it's like, we've just seen two people killed and this is like a PTSD song.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool is earlier because it's the Jets like figuring out how to deal with what's going on with. I gotta be honest with you, I think the movie placing Cool later is actually the better choice.
Interesting. So that's a discussion I wanted to have.
Here's I will say this.
I just like when Riff sings it. He can't sing it when he's dead.
That is true. And you give Riff a song.
Yeah.
The only defense that that's actually a pretty good argument. The only other argument I will accept is that having Officer Krupke happen after the fight is actually closer to the Shakespearean play. The reason they put it there is because after like the big fight, they go to they have a little bit of a comic relief scene, and it's like a little bit more Shakespearean. That being said, like,
yeah, I think the switch for the film makes a lot of sense. It's more true to storytelling on film. I think having the comic relief in the second act of the musical makes more sense.
From a stage.
And just from like what you're listening to in the theater point of view.
But in the movie, the tension of that fight leading into Cool makes that choreography insane. It amps up the energy.
It gives me a lot of goosebumps.
Yeah, it's just like, because it's just like, they are all, because honestly, in the show, like, you gotta be cool. It feels like at the beginning, like earlier on, it feels just like, yeah, man, you gotta be cool. Like, we're gonna be cool, guys. And this is just like, no, this it's getting bad. Like, guys, we gotta just like, we're.
When I first watched this movie the first time through and Cool came up, I was like, oh, is this at a place where they're singing about being cool? And then it took me about a minute. I went, oh, they're singing this so they don't all melt down.
Uh-huh.
It was like, keep, be cool. And not, it's
the choreography so it's is like, changed. Pop, pop, slow your roll. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So I think it works. It took me a minute to think it worked, but I think it worked.
I think it works too. I think Krupke works as well, but I agree that it works better on stage because it is more of a theatrical way of doing that.
Yeah.
It's a theatrical thing to need a comedy relief scene like that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Fun fact about Cool and Riff. Just in general, in the movie, because all of the lead actors mostly were dubbed in the movie. The voice of Riff that sings the Jet song is the actor that then sings Cool later.
Huh.
So he sings Cool, but also dubs Riff earlier on in the Jet song.
Well, do you think that they recorded that ADR before they changed where it is? And then they were like, well, we already got it. We got to use it. Because Riff sings Cool, you normally.
Yeah.
They probably recorded it before they realized it was like, oh, actually, we're moving Cool here.
And then this guy that we have in the ensemble and created a character named Ice, you're just going to sing it.
Yeah, 100%.
I wonder. That would be interesting to look up. Also, Riff in the movie is Russ Tamblyn, father of Amber Tamblyn.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yep. Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Isn't that funny?
Seven Brides for Seven Brothers' Own Russ Tamblyn.
Yep.
Oh, that is that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I never even connected the dots on that.
I know. I just found that out today.
Yeah, that's like how the guy who plays Bernardo is in White Christmas.
Yeah.
My dad went to the mat every. He's like, has a small part when Rosemary Clooney is singing at the club. He's like in the little dance number. And my dad was like, that's Bernardo from West Side Story. We're like, no, it's not, Dad. Shut up, Dad. And he's like, I think it was like before smartphones, so you couldn't really check. And then finally, like, smartphones were things like, I'm going to Google it. And we're like, you better not. I was like, if we're wrong, we're going to end you, old man. But nah, he was 100% right. And now he literally, anytime we ever watch that movie as a family, he's like, I'm pretty sure that's Bernardo. And
that
is because my dad.
That actor played Riff in the stage show and then Bernardo in the movie.
That's what I was about.
The 50s, and you could do that without getting canceled.
Yes. Absolutely. You can just say he's Greek, so he's Puerto Rican, which is not true, and which is one of the main reasons I am glad that there's a modern.
Yeah,
I almost said revival. It's not called a revival. Remake? What do you call a new movie of a thing?
Remake? I think they're considering it a remake.
I would consider it a remake.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're staying true to sort of the aesthetic and classicness the film, but you know, using actors of the appropriate racial background.
It is a remake in that it is very much informed by the original movie. It is not they are making another West Side Story movie, because with musicals it's tough because like you can make another movie, but it's not necessarily a remake of the movie.
Sure, it could be like a remake of the revival production or like an adaptation of this concept of it.
Yeah, but because this movie is such a, it's so like marked in film history and Broadway, has you can't not be in its shadow. So you might as well use that to your advantage, at least in how you go about it. Like, do we know what time period the new movie is set in? Is it supposed to be modern or is it supposed to be the 50s?
It's unclear.
Have you seen the costumes? It's the 50s.
I don't know, okay, man.
No one wears those clothes.
I will say this.
Yes.
And this may be a hot take.
Okay.
I don't know why we're making this movie. I don't know why this needed to get made.
As I just said.
Because of the, here's the thing.
Just for the casting.
There's
alone.
Problematic stuff in the casting, but every movie in the 50s has problematic casting.
Yeah.
Every single one.
And the thing you run into too is this is a pretty good show that is very much on the side of against institutional racism. It has several songs that call it out, but also it was written by white dudes in the 50s for Puerto Ricans. So they don't, there's things in there that we maybe don't need to remake again, but we can still appreciate what it was.
The 2009 revival did hire Lin-Manuel Miranda to translate a lot of the songs into Spanish that were sung by the Sharks. So I Feel Pretty was completely in Spanish. Their stuff during the quartet was in Spanish, and A Boy Like That was in Spanish.
Yeah, I listened to that, and it threw me a little because I like the idea of that, but also I feel like that really, really, really needs you to have heard the entire album before that.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's almost
about a year into the run, they changed it back to English.
Yeah, because like it's a cool idea, especially if you've heard their lines in English and then they say it again in Spanish and you can like context figure out, they're just saying it. But if the whole song is if you don't know the song I Feel Pretty, then you're just watching people sing in Spanish and you're just like, she seems happy, I guess.
They were relying on the fact that it is a well-known score.
Yes.
I think they're also relying on the fact that Leonard Bernstein is very much an opera writer or an operetta writer as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in opera, people sing in a different language all the time.
Yeah. But you did also say the name of the song wrong. It's called, you have to pronounce it correctly. It's pronounced, a boy like that, you killed your brother. Bring it that boy. Find it now. It's the best. It's the best. I literally think of like anytime anyone times like, oh, my brother. I'm like, your brother. Like, I love it. It makes me happy.
Rita Moreno just steals this movie and drives away in a Corvette.
And the fact
that she won an Oscar
is involved in this new production, like, makes me feel good.
Me too.
Yeah.
Brown.
She plays Doc, who is a friend of the Jets, not necessarily a friend of the show. I guess Doc's is neutral ground. Is that what it?
Doc is neutral, but he's a little more Jet centric.
Yeah.
He's like Max from Saved by the Bell. You know.
I don't know.
No, I'm just a joke.
Too young.
About like that. Ginger Brown.
I know. I love that. In my junior year acting through song, two of my friends did A Boy Like That. and my professor made them like go on opposite sides of the classroom door. And so my one friend had to sing the whole thing in the hallway and banging on the door to get in.
One of your own kind.
Yeah.
So good, man. I love this movie.
Me too.
I love it. I know. Like, man.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Whoa, man, Rita. Rita.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Can we talk about how America is just a roast battle and it's great for it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the other difference in the movie is that different people sing America.
Which is a good call, I think, because you build more. I was reading it. Sondheim mentioned it. He's like, yeah, we had to make up this character, Rosalia, I think her name was.
Yeah, Rosalia.
Yeah, because Jerome Robbins wanted it to be an all-female number. But he's like, no, but you build character by having Bernardo sing that he doesn't. And it builds their relationship. And Jerome Robbins just wouldn't hear of it. But it's the better call, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Well,
whoever took over directing the movie, it must have changed that for him.
Steven Spielberg. It's a Steven Spielberg movie. What are you talking about?
In 1961?
Yep. It's like, boy, he's doing it twice.
It's like, boy?
Yep.
Boy. Crazy boy.
Thanks for saving me there, Alex. Appreciate it.
Got me out of that. Thank you, your brother.
Killed your brother. I got that boy. You funny man. Dude. I love that movie.
It's very good.
Yeah, I don't think we needed a new one, but whatever.
Yeah, like the.
But you will gladly go see it with me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's interesting to me that Officer Krupke has a whole song. He's in it for like a second. Like it's
interesting. His song.
I know, but you're like they're talking about this guy who has like one line. It still works. I'm not mad about it, but I'm just like
the police as a whole.
Yes.
A song about police brutality.
Yeah, which is again 1957. Good for you, Leonard Bernstein.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They did good things. I liked it very much.
And it's interesting too because they make specific point to say that Jets are all like Irish and Polish and Italian who a generation earlier wouldn't have even been considered white, but now they are. So now the police are on their side implicitly and all this stuff. And they're being mean to different immigrants. And it's very,
there's nuanced. A lot of layers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you can really get into. And maybe some of that will come up in the new movie. I don't know. I just don't know. I know that the one scene of all the shadows looks real cool and I will go see that film.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
I know that I'll probably end up seeing the West Side Story revival when it reopens on Broadway, but they cut I Feel Pretty and they made it one act. And I don't know how I feel about any of that information.
How long is that act?
An hour and 45 minutes.
No, they crammed.
Yes. Well, act two of West Side Story is only like 45 minutes.
Yeah,
anyway.
I guess you're right.
It's very short it's a long first act because they want to end the act break with Riff dead on the ground. Spoiler for West Side Story.
Let's be real. This show, like, also one of maybe the better medleys of all time. Maybe the best. Yeah.
Oh, the quartet?
Yeah.
They do a one day more, basically.
Yeah.
They invented it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they do it even better than Les Mis.
Oh, yeah. They did it first. It's very good. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Shall we, Little Love? I feel like everyone knows the history of West Side Story, but Alex, did you have any more questions about the actual?
I knew the movie won a bunch of Oscars. I don't know anything about the Broadway run. So I was kind of curious, like, was it as successful a film as it was on Broadway?
I think you could argue the film was a bit better. Not, obviously, the film. You could argue one was better than the other, I'm sure, but the Broadway run, I think it was about 797 or so performances. So like a year and a half, 2 years. The London production ran a lot longer, but then they went on Broadway went on tour and came back to Broadway to end the tour.
Yeah.
Which the Hair revival did. That was a thing for a while.
Okay.
That's fun.
Very successful. I like it. Yeah. I like when people do that. We'll see.
Yeah. But I think the movie definitely is the thing that,
yeah, because the only Tonys the show won was choreography and scenic design.
Yeah, and then the movie cleaned up.
The movie won like everything.
And that's
pretty much everything.
And I think the movie is what really solidified this show as being like a huge cultural touchstone. Like the show, yeah. The Broadway show was successful, but like this is the one that was like the movie was like, no, this is really good, y'all.
And it like showed the world what Broadway was becoming as well, because yeah. Everyone's like, oh, a musical comedy, blah, blah, blah. Let's go see a musical movie. And the musical movie was like, oh.
Busby Berkeley, like a bunch.
Yeah,
bunch
of kicking and then girls they saw the a musical version of Rebel Without a Cause, basically.
Yeah, 100%.
Did you know that Arthur Lawrence wanted James Dean for Tony, and then he died? I know.
But also, everyone wanted James Dean for whatever.
I don't know that he would have done it, but like, but knowing that was the vibe makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I like the way they characterized Tony. That like he because he started this shitty little street gang, like. He wasn't a great person, but he clearly like grew a conscience about it and now is much nicer. But then when he kills somebody, you're like, oh, that's yeah. Like he probably didn't go there. Obviously, he didn't go there wanting to kill someone. But you're like, yeah, he's got a violent side. So you kind of like him and kind of don't in just the right amount that you still root for him enough. You know what I mean? That's what I feel, at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Shall we little love?
Yeah.
Jaybird?
My little loves. I love in earlier on in like very beginning of the show when they talk about like and they never expand and they never mention it ever again. And I really want to know, like, honestly, if I ever met Sondheim, this would be a big question I would have for him. Be like, hey, what about all those other gangs? Like the Emeralds, like all.
Wait, fun fact. The Emeralds was the rival gang in East Side Story. It's an Easter egg.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I love for some reason, the only ones coming to mind is the Emeralds, but there's like the Tigers or something.
Yeah, where are they?
Like, do they all get murdered? What's happening?
They've clearly been beaten back into their other territory because the Jets, their name is scrawled everywhere.
But it also like brings to life the world of like maybe there's a dance fight warriors, you know what I mean? Like warriors, whoa, come out and dance fight. Like,
can you dig it?
Yeah,
yes, you can.
Absolutely. I really, I don't think there's anything cooler than like the opening shot of them just like sitting on the side of the basketball court, just like smoking cigarettes and snapping. I'm just like, this is the coolest. It's so cool. It will honestly, like the first 10 minutes of the movie, I'm just like, I'm immediately in. I can't not watch the rest of the movie because it's just, I love it. Other little loves. I already said another one of my little loves. What about that? Get your brother. I love it. Rita Moreno is just, but that line in particular, it just was like a big, I still think about it all the time. I really, really do love this isn't even a little love, this is a big love. Specifically, and I know this is iconic, and I know this is probably your guys' as well, and I know I'm not really treading on fresh ground right now, but in Cool, when the shot, it's like shot and choreography meeting in the middle in such a spectacular fashion, but when they're in the parking garage and they're basically like running on like low knees to the camera and do the hop with a snap, it just is the best thing. It's like maybe one of the best shots in any musical movie. It just gets your motor running and I love it. I know it's iconic. I know it's not, I'm not treading water or like treading new ground.
It's here. Still a little thing. Oh, it's a love.
I love it.
Absolutely.
I love this music.
I, of course, all of mine are costumes. I love Maria's dress. And anytime I wear a pair of like white Keds, I just feel like dancing and snapping. I think that my personal style has really been influenced by the Jets.
Yeah.
If you can think of me in just skinny jeans, 100%. A white sneaker.
Yeah.
And an oversized t-shirt.
Yeah, that's Kimberly Cooper.
Yeah. I dress like, there's a one specific Jet I have in mind and I don't remember. Maybe he's Action.
Action's the one that. Yeah, the shorter guy.
The one in the white.
Yeah.
Yeah, Action is what I base my personal style on. I also, what's a not costume thing that I love? I love this movie so much. The quartet. And just, I had a lyric in my head today to say. And was I forget it, what it is.
Was it about that?
It was not.
Hey, bro.
Although I do love that as well. obviously, My Little Love is the most iconic thing from the whole movie. How many bullets left in this gun, Chino?
Enough for you.
Enough for me?
Enough for me.
Have you guys heard the story of the West Side Story shoe incident?
No.
Yes, I have. But Alex, please tell it if you know it.
Okay, I saw, I believe it was the Gym and Tonic Musical Theater YouTube channel, and I was looking up West Side Story. There was a production where the gun didn't go off, so the guy playing Chino panicked, took off a shoe, and yelled, "Poison shoe!" Hurled it, boom, Tony drops, because what else are you going to do? But then Maria has to then threaten everyone with the weapon that killed Tony. So I think the story goes she had to pick up the shoe and like point it at people like she could, like anyone could be next.
Huh.
And that's the magic of theater when it goes terribly awry.
I think if you just...
How much poison left in this shoe, Chino?
Enough for you.
Enough for your brother. I'll kill your brother with the shoe.
It's so good. There's also, I think there might be an article about this, or just like I think about it a lot. The impulse to laugh at the gunshot that kills Tony, because you don't really hear much of that, but like it's just like a very somber moment, and then you hear a gunshot, everyone jumps, and then like they laugh at their reaction to it. I remember the first time I saw like a when I saw it at Walnut Street Theater, everyone jumped, and then all the old ladies like giggled that they got so scared at a fake gunshot.
Huh.
And so like everyone was giggling while Tony died, and it was very strange.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah,
that's not a little love. That's a little gripe.
I didn't feel that, but I wonder. That seems like a thing that happens when you're in the room and you go, "Ugh." Yeah. That's not like that. You watch really, home.
Yeah, and you don't really see Chino coming. It's spooky.
Yeah, true.
Alex,
I've got a few. First is the, just this is this line is kind of emblematic of the rhythm of all the lyrics and what I love about them, which the when you're a jet all the way from your first cigarette to your last dying day. Just beautiful. And like I told you, I read Sondheim, every Sondheim word about what he thinks of his own lyrics for the show. He's very down on himself, but I'm like, yeah, I think you're looking for like my other little love, or one of my other little loves, is Somewhere. It's such a great song. It's so sweet. It's damn perfect. And he's like, yeah, I don't like that, like, the word A has the, there's that interval. It's like, yeah, well, why would the word A be so special? I'm like, because it doesn't matter, Steve. You wrote perfection. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
You're getting me in my head about my show. Stop it.
But to your point where when you're a jet, I think that's a perfect example of characters singing the way they would probably talk.
Totally. Totally.
Like, I feel like they would, that's the kind of thing you say when you're in a 50s dance gang.
Yeah, and a lot of when these characters get a little more poetic, because Bernstein wanted those lyrics more than Sondheim did, I still feel like it doesn't break the game of the show, because I feel like when a character is overcome by love as opposed to anger, they get a little loftier in wording. So that just feels like a thing the show does to its characters. I get Sondheim's gripe, totally, but to me it still works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I actually think I'm glad he released an imperfect show.
Yeah.
Cause like, you know, I appreciate that about Sondheim, that he, it's always a work in progress, but at the same time, it's like, hey man, that song, as far as I'm concerned, that song's perfect.
Totally. Totally. I love the mambo melody. And I'm not proud of the fact that the first time I heard it, what I heard in my head was Garfield and Friends.
100%. Yeah, right? 100%. Yeah, you ruined. That is what it is. Although, just to hop in there, the loves in that dance scene with Mambo.
Yeah.
When the two of them see each other.
That dance at the gym is perfect.
Is there anything more perfect when it all slows down and like this, like when the snaps yeah, with the straight arms? I was like, yeah, man. I'm sorry, Jerome Robbins was a jerk, but wow, that's evocative.
Yeah, and they film it in such a way when everything gets blurry and time kind of slows, where you believe from then on that they know each other more than they would have in real life. Like, it communicates the theater logic of it extremely well, where you know they barely know each other, and that's part of the, like, rashness of it. But you go with it because it is communicated with you that this is, you know, going by theater logic, not real logic.
It's magic, man. Well, it's magic. It's
theater
magic. My dad always would then point to the screen and go, "That's how me and your mom met."
Well,
he did that at every movie we ever saw. If two people meet in this movie, my dad just goes, "That's how we met."
And here's the funny thing about your family dynamic is that I bet all three of you were like, "Oh, Steve."
Yeah, every
time. Even though he's just being so romantic and so nice. Your dad is so nice and sweet, and you guys all roll your eyes at him. I don't get it.
Yeah, but he always thought it's like, "That's how we met." The room stopped and blurred. And
he's just being nice. Being sweet.
Yeah, my mom would go, "Ugh."
Being sweet on your mama. Come on now.
I found the lyrics that were my little love. I just remembered them. "Tonight the world was just an address, a place for me to live in, no better than all right. But here you are, and what was just a world is a star."
That's nice.
Isn't that nice? I thought of you.
See? Feel good.
I have one more. I love the fact that Maria doesn't die because not just because I don't want her to die, but because this show does Romeo. This show does Romeo and Juliet just accurately enough that like you get all the beats where you go, "Oh, they really know this piece," but also it ends differently enough that you can't just go, "Well, I know how this is all going to end. They're both going to kill themselves." Tony does an elaborate suicide where he runs and says, shoot me," and then does. And then she runs in at the last minute, and then she kind of dies inside.
Yeah.
It ends so well. And then I was watching the ending and thinking like, "Oh, is it implied that the jet that they make up because of this?" But then I watched this video from this YouTube channel called Sideways that's really, really good. It analyzes a lot of film musicals. And it said, if you listen to the score and there's that tritone for the da-da-da, that's the kind of hate melody, that plays kind of interlocking with the somewhere melody to say that, like, yeah, the Jets and the Sharks are still going to hate each other. They never merged into one music. This didn't do anything. It was just terrible. Yeah. And I think that's really cool that the music is literally telling you how to extrapolate the ending.
Can I say a hot take?
Because Leonard Bernstein is so good. Yeah.
Not that theater's a competition in any way.
There's awards. It's a competition.
Yeah.
Once a year.
I think West Side Story is a better piece of theater than Romeo and Juliet could ever hope to be.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a lot of Shakespeare heads out there that are probably like, "Bah, bah, 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 is it not the same thing?" I'm like, yeah, but if you're going to be like, "Hey, you can go see a production of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet or West Side Story," it's like 100% West Side Story. What were you saying before that? It's West Side Story.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm getting on a long train tomorrow. I'm going to read Romeo and Juliet, and we'll decide when I have deliberated. But I think you might be right, actually.
Yeah, because I don't think you're going to make it through. I don't think it's going to hold your attention long enough, but we'll see.
Also, at this point, Romeo and Juliet can be like every Shakespeare can just be like placed in different times and different eras and different things. Yeah, I like it to be Leo and
Claire Danes. Come on now.
And West Side Stories are like, this is a very specific story about a specific moment in history in a specific place.
I would posit that Romeo and Juliet is the same thing. It's just
But we are so far removed that we are now like, oh, Romeo and Juliet, but in Kansas and you know, in a high school.
Fair enough.
Because the politics of a family in Verona, Italy means nothing to us right now.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I have a feeling the revival that just happened, or this just almost happened, doesn't work. But like I said, I would really be interested in seeing what it looks like on a bootleg or something, because I kind of like the idea of making the Jets look scarier than they do and giving them neck tattoos and stuff. And I kind of like the idea of it being set now, because honestly, institutional racism, it's been chilling here the whole time. Police protect, like a lot of this stuff, like I think a lot of this stuff wouldn't work set now, but some of it actually would. And I'd be curious to see how it shook out, you know?
Yeah,
I'm curious to see it. I hope it reopens. I think they plan to, but I have no idea.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure there's smartphones in it, like somebody's filming something on a camera. Something like,
and there's a lot of video screens in the back as part of the set. We'll see.
Yeah.
We will. If Harold went to see West Side Story, what would you do when his cell phone went off?
I'd just start snapping at him until he knew what I was implying, and then he'd leave of his own accord.
And I'd probably get yelled at because I'd whistle at him.
I have a very specific answer, because when I saw the 2009 revival of West Side Story with my mother on a Saturday matinee, a phone went off for probably 15 minutes.
Oh,
two people down from us. And I was like waving an usher. I was trying to get the attention of the person whose phone was ringing. Like, it was 2009 when all ringtones were the same. And it was like, yes, it was that one. For a long time.
That's the worst.
Yeah. And the usher came over at intermission and was like, someone figure out whose phone it is and turn, like,
yeah,
we really, yeah, it yeah. was, we came together as a section of a theater and just really turned on the person whose phone was ringing. And so that's exactly what I imagine we would do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You all started snapping.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably get call out. Over one of the ushers and they'd use their stun gun on the
Laduka.
Yeah.
Is there a review?
There's a review. This is from Ghostlight Guy. Subject is love this podcast. Everyone, please leave Broadway Baby 5 stars and a nice review so we can grow the show. Such a great concept and so much fun to listen to. Funny and knowledgeable. Kimberly, Jay, and Alex are great hosts. Definitely one of my go-to Broadway and musical theater podcasts.
Yay, thank you. I thought you were going to chime in with a yay, thank you. No, I thought everyone was going to chime in and go, thank you. How nice of that person to say that.
I really don't know why I wanted to leave you hanging there, but it just was so funny.
I don't know why, but I also felt that. So. Yeah.
I was very distraught.
Yeah, your face got so big and you're like, thank you. And I was just like, you're on your own on that one, sweets.
I am too used to Brian and Kevin being nice and joining on the unison talk.
It's been a long week, sweetie. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, goodness. Well, shall we end it with a finale? Sing out, Louise.
Stand-up comedy, my lifelong passion. Lately you fell out of fashion. Always the heckler was yelling. Always the microphone is smelling. And the awful lighting. And the bad joke writing. And the Facebook fighting. I like the street they call Broadway. I don't care what all you frauds say. I like to be on a Broadway pod, spilling the tea on a Broadway pod. We're watching Glee on a Broadway pod, and you get me on a Broadway pod. Lots of new music and fun facts. Patreon gets you the fat stacks. But it's about art, not the rat race. Oh, and we're sponsored by Squarespace. Da-da-da-da, singing a song on a Broadway pod. Feelings are strong on a Broadway pod. You're never wrong on a Broadway pod. Where I belong on a Broadway pod. Da-da-da-da.
Yay!